We've been to church tonight, haven't we? Amen. I've enjoyed the singing and the preaching and song. And it's just been a good day. It really has. And I'm rejoicing in what God is doing. But I'm rejoicing even more in what He's going to do. What's He going to do for you? Well, have you talked to Him recently and asked Him to do something special? Well, do that. You know, I've talked to the Lord and I've said, Lord, I'm tired of these four walls. I'm tired of these windows that I have to look out of. I'm tired of the cars going by and me sitting here and people slipping into a Christless eternity. And I've decided I'm going to do something about it as best I can. I'm going to preach the gospel. Because that's what God's called me to do, is to preach the gospel. And thank you, church, for letting me come this week and be with you. Thank you, Pastor, for all the good things you've done for us. We're grateful. We really are. And we just praise God for His goodness and His grace. Right, Florine? Say amen. Okay. Have to prod her sometimes, you know. All right, let's go to John chapter 4, if you will. John chapter 4. And let's look at verses 1 through 4. And that's not going to be our text tonight, but it's going to be a kickoff for us. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. And so he went through Samaria, and in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to know that you know not of. Now that's precious. And we have meat to know that these dear ladies in this church have prepared for us this week. It's been good, ladies. You've done a good job, and we appreciate it. Amen, men?
Amen.
Amen. And so just keep on doing the good work and making us preachers fatter. We'll appreciate it. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And I know exactly what he was saying. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Verse 38, I send you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor, no other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. Let's see what else the Lord has to say for us tonight. But up in verse 32, he said unto them, I have meat that you know not of. The Lord was hungry, but stayed by the well of Jacob, while the disciples went into town to buy food for their noonday meal. And when they were gone, the Samaritan lady came to draw water from the well. The fact that she came at noon tells us a lot about her. Even to this day, when a person goes to draw water, and I've lived in countries where they go to draw water, they never go in the heat of the day, but they go in the early morning or in the cool of the evening to draw the water, because they don't sweat so bad that way, you know. And so while they were gone, the Samaritan lady came to draw water from the well. And the fact that she came at noon tells us a lot about her. Even to this day, when a person goes to draw water, as I said a while ago, they never go in the heat of the day. But in the morning, but that wasn't the case with this lady. You see, the Lord Jesus was at the well, and she wanted to be near Him. And so she went in the heat of the day to see our Savior and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I'd have lived in those days. I really do. Why? I'd love to have seen His face. I'd love to have felt His touch. I'd love to have heard His sweet voice as He preached and talked to people about what He'd come to this earth for. I'd love to have heard the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I do know this one thing. We may not hear His voice with these ears, but we got this book. And this book tells us all that He has for us to know. So read it and listen to it. While they were gone, the Samaritan lady came to draw water from the well. The fact that she came at noon tells us about her. Even to this day, as I said a while ago, she would go in the cool of the day, but she didn't do that. Yes, she was an adulterous woman. She had sinned. She'd been married 5 times. My goodness, I can't imagine that. And now living with a man whom was not married. She was a sinful woman. Adultery under any condition, at any time, is sin and it's wrong. Amen. And we dare not enter into an adulterous union with a person. But when the disciples returned with their meal, the Lord had just completed His conversation with the lady. She had believed in the Lord for salvation, left her water pot, and the Lord and went into the city as fast as she could to tell all men of that city, listen to this, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And it was the Christ. He changed her adulterous heart into a soft, beautiful heart that was living and beating for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen about that. His reply was, and after she had left, the disciples said to Jesus, Master, eat. What was on their mind while this lady was speaking? Eating, that's all a lot of preachers think about sometimes. And that's what those disciples were thinking about in the heat of the day. But His reply was this, no, I'm satisfied. You know what the Ethiopians would say? They would say, Nay, tagabialo. No, I'm satisfied. Nay, tagabialo. No, I'm satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my heart. How He picked me up out of the galley, out of the gutter of sin, and put me on a rock and taken me into the glorious heights of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I hear the preaching of God's Word like we've heard this week among you guys here and the testimonies and hear the singing and the music instruments, my heart is just flowing overboard because God loves people. Doesn't He? Say it with me, everybody. God loves people. And He loves me. Come on, say it. And He loves me. And so we ought to be saying that every day of our lives. His reply was, no, I'm satisfied. Let me tell you something. What is it that satisfied the Lord? The thing that satisfied the Lord was missions. The thing that satisfied the Lord was soul winning. The thing which was His very purpose for going by the way of Samaria. You see, the Lord was a missionary, and the Lord was a soul winner, and that's how He spent His life here on this earth. Oh, we know that He went to the cross of Calvary, and there He suffered and died and bled, but He did that for the sins of all the world. And for that reason, we ought to rejoice. Amen? Amen! Good for you. All right. How is it possible that He was satisfied by winning such a poor, wicked sinner. Because, now listen to this, it's careful. Because he was fulfilling his purpose for coming into the world. You see, God loves people. Amen. I guess that has become the theme of my preaching life. And it ought to be the theme of all of our lives. Say it with me. God loves people. And you ought to think that every day. And you ought to think this. God loves me. Say it. God loves me. What a blessing that is. That we would be useful for the Lord who loves us so. And so, beloved, let's give our all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was fulfilling his purpose for coming into this world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. But that's true. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Lord had given every believer and every church purpose for exercising when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. Now it's quite evident that not everyone can go. And the Lord knew that. The Lord called some to go, and he called some to stay home. But everyone can be a missionary for Christ, a servant for the Lord, right here at home, serving God Almighty. He's good to us, isn't he? Amen? And so we ought to respond to his goodness and his love and his mercy and his salvation with our meager efforts to bring honor and glory to his precious name. God is good. Amen. Say it. God is good. You say, why do you ask us to talk? Because I like to hear people talk. And I do it myself. Well, he was satisfied because he was being obedient to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." What was he talking about? Finish his work. Going to the cross of Calvary, suffer and bleeding and dying for you and for me. How precious he is. Amen? You're supposed to say amen. How precious he is. Amen? That's weak. Y'all, Jack, have anything to eat tonight? It was a good meal. Why don't you eat? Maybe you have a little power about you. He is good to us, isn't he? Amen? He really is. And so, if I ask a question, answer it. Okay, kids, did you know that it pays to be obedient? Would all the boys and girls stand up right now? Okay, I don't care how old you are, but just stand up. Okay, men, women, boys, girls, stand up. Come on, stand up. If I can get up here, you can stand up. I want everybody to stand up. Let me tell you something. When I was just a boy, I got a whipping. It was my last whipping. It was a whipping I never forgot. Not to this hour. And let me tell you kids something. And let me tell you mums and daddies something. The last whipping I received, because I had a horse, and I refused to clean out the barn. And that was bad. And my daddy, he wasn't very big, but he was mean and he was tough. And he ever had a razor strap. He didn't use his belt. He used that razor strop, as they call it down south. And they'd strop the razor, you know. And so he laid that on my backside. And I never forgot one time to clean out the barn. And let me tell you something. God wants you that are standing to reach out to a lost and dying world and clean it up by telling people that God loves people. Amen? All right, you may sit down. That's sign language. Sit down. Okay. Now then, it pays to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. Peace is to be had when we're obedient to him. And so we need to exercise our faith in him. I suggest now that you turn to the Lord and ask forgiveness and claim the peace that he offers every Christian who he is willing, who is willing to serve him. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I who? You." And let's try that again. And he said again, then Jesus said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I who? You." And we are to send the word around the world. Isn't that what missions is all about? That's what missions is all about. You know, we don't have money like we used to have when I was just preaching and getting into churches every week. But we're still giving over $200 a week to missions. Now, I don't say that for your honor and for your glory. I don't want that. But I say it because if we can give that much to help people around the world hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and what a joy it is to me, you can do the same thing if you trust Him. We can give by faith. Why should we give by faith? Because it pleases God. Someone said the very heartbeat of God is for the salvation of lost souls. And that's true. And for that reason, He was glad. God was overjoyed and happy that He could send His Son, Jesus, to this earth to go to the cross of Calvary and suffer and bleed and die for you and for me. He did it. What are we doing for Him? Pleases God. God is not willing that any should die, but that or sin, but that all should come to repentance. This is the very reason that He sent His Son Jesus to die. You see, it did bruise God, or please God to bruise His Son. Isaiah 53:10. This does not mean that God took pleasure in torturing His Son, but it means that He was happy, overjoyed, and thrilled that He could do something to save you and me. God loves us. Amen? That's good. It really is. Mission should be our desire because the great need is so great. And it is a great need. Mission should be our desire because of the great need. The need for missionaries to preach the gospel is quite evident. Because sin is so horrible and the results so eternal. Because Satan has blinded the eyes of people so that they cannot find the way. Oh my. One of my favorite stories is Acts 31 about the Ethiopian eunuch who said, "How can I understand except some man show me?" Never will I forget Gomija. We saw Gomija just a few weeks ago, didn't we? She's one of our missionaries. She's established churches for deaf people. She herself is deaf. She doesn't preach. She just teaches those people. And those guys get up deaf and they use their hands and they preach what Gomija has taught them. So she teaches the deaf. And she's now starting a new church there in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. But she believes in her heart that God is not willing that any should die, but that all should come to repentance. And that dear lady that we won to the Lord when she was just a teenage girl, she's been preaching the gospel, even though three times she's had to go to prison because she preached the gospel. Or taught the gospel. Rather say taught for a lady. And she did that. She's not claiming to be a preacher. She's a teacher of the Word of God. And three times, she's gone to prison. And she didn't go to just any prison. She was in the prison in Addis Ababa. And they'd take their whip with nine pieces of steel or glass in that thing and beat them. And she's been beat day after day after day. And you don't want to know something? Didn't make her bitter. It made her better. And she got out of there and she talked as loud as she could. With her hands, you know, and her voice just croaked and groaning. and people would get saved. And we saw her, didn't we? Just a few weeks ago, she's come to the States, been asked to come. And I just wanted to bow her feet. I did. She hugged me. She kissed me, both cheeks. Said, thank you for coming to Ethiopia. We didn't waste our time. We didn't waste our time. And that was Joyce's fruit. Joyce won her as a precious little girl. But we can win men like that. And we can win girls and women like that. Reach them for Christ. Because God loves who? People. He really does. Well, it pleased God to bruise His Son. This doesn't mean that God took sadistic pleasure in beating His Son, but rather that His love for a lost world was so great that He was willing to let Jesus die in our stead. He was glad to do that which we might be saved. I have 5 children, 3 girls and 2 boys. I want to ask you, how many of you have girls? Okay. How many of you have boys? Okay. How many of you have boys and girls? Some of you, okay, good. Well, I had boys and girls. Preacher, honest, which is easiest to raise? You're a chicken, a coward. Who's easy? Well, let me say this. Boys are easier until they reach a certain age. And then they just, I don't know what happens to them. They go crazy. and something happens to them. And they stay crazy until they get about 20 or 30, something like that. And they get over it, you know. And the girls, they are the hardest. I mean, they will break your heart, guys. They get 13, 14, 15, 16. The boys start coming around and you want to run them off, but you can't because the girls say, oh, you just don't love me anymore. You know, I've heard that said so many times. But let me tell you something. The time will come when a man will steal that girl's heart and she will marry him. And then she turns around and she's sweet and precious. Isn't that what you found out about your girls and boys? It's true. And my girls are all saved. They're all living for the Lord. But I wish you'd pray for Jeff, our youngest son. He is an alcoholic. He's been in the hospitals. He's been in prisons. He's suffered. He called me this morning. You know what he said to me? Got ready to hang up. Dad, I love you. I love you. He was sober. I love you, Dad. That meant everything to me. Oh, love those kids. Love them to the Lord. Let God have their way. How can I understand the Ethiopian except some man show me, he said. We met a man in Ethiopia. His name was Adagai Yohannes. He went from poverty and ignorance to become one of the intellectuals of Ethiopia. And after he was saved, he said this. Listen to what that man said. If there were no promise of heaven in the Bible, the Christian life is still the best. And that's a man that I won to the Lord in his home, knocking on doors. Day after day, we knocked on doors. I can't tell you how many were saved, but I praise God for every one of them. Well, what the Lord is telling us here is that the harvest is perishing. What happens to the cow if you don't milk her? Come on, any farmers? What happens to her? What? She goes dry. That's right. And what happens if we don't bring the ripe wheat out of the field? It dries and dies. It'll burn up and blow, the wind will blow it away. But folks, I want to ask you something. These missionaries that are going out, their work is urgent. If there's a hell, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Is there a hell? Yes. And God loves people, and He doesn't want them to go to hell. And He wants us to go and to reach them for Him. I know of no greater paying work than missions. It pays in satisfaction. It pays in joy unspeakable. It pays in eternal results. A great pastor, I love this, and theologian, John A. Broadus. How many of you heard of Dr. Broadus? Sure, a lot of us have. Dr. Broadus had tried to win over and to win a half-witted boy to Christ. And that boy was so backward, he didn't know or understand a lot. And members of the church repeatedly tried to dissuade him. And finally, as a young teenage boy, he was saved, gloriously saved. The boy never got over it, and he rejoiced in what the Lord had done for him. And every time he'd see Dr. Broadus, he'd throw up his hand in greeting and shout where everybody could hear him, "Howdy, John! Thank you, John!" And he'd just smile. And the people would say to Dr. Broadus, "Do something about that boy. He's embarrassing to everybody." Dr. Broadus said, "Oh, no, no. Leave him alone. He loves the Lord. That's all that matters." You see, when he was just a boy, Dr. Broadus went in to see that boy. He was dying. And he came to him. And he squeezed his toe. And the boy looked up. You know what he said? "Howdy, John. Thank you, John." He closed his eyes, went into a deep coma, and died too late. The last words that he said were to his soul winner, "Howdy, John. Thank you, John." And he died. Oh, I know of no greater work than soul winning and missions. It pays in satisfaction. It pays in joy unspeakable. It pays in eternal results. A good pastor by the name of Dr. Broadus had tried to win this boy that I just told you about. Dr. Broadus, he'd throw up his hand when he'd see somebody and he'd say, thinking about this boy, "Howdy, Tom. Howdy," whatever her name was, "Mary. God bless you. God bless you." And listen, folks, if a great man like John Broadus can do that, you and I can thank people who have won us to Jesus Christ. And I have to say, for me, it was a Sunday school teacher when I was 13 at Temple Baptist Church in Detroit. J. Frank Norris. Thank you. Who said that? God bless you. J. Frank Norris preached that day. And I went forward. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't always agree with Dr. Norris. It was a family matter, I guess. But I knew this one thing. I rejoice in his preaching because Dr. Broadus preached the Word. And I think that one day when I see him in glory, I'm going to want to say to him, "Howdy, Frank. God bless you, brother. Amen." And he's going to grin, pat me on the head like he used to when I was a little kid. And he was just delighted in hearing the stories of Dr. Broadus. But anyway, folks, listen. Let's serve God. I mean, let's really put Him first in our lives. I love you. I thank you for the opportunity of being here. Pastor, thank you. God bless you.